So Hannah's life is a great inspiration to us. Her life was not perfect. She carried a great burden and she had difficult struggles. Yet she stayed focused on the Lord and she stayed devoted to him. She trusted in him and she carried her burdens to him. Now we're going to be looking at four sections tonight in this chapter. First of all, her sorrow, her supplication, her son, and then her sacrifice. So let's start off with her sorrow and read verses 1 through 8. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. Then jump down to verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb. And her adversary also provoked her relentlessly to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So we see that Hannah's sorrow, two things caused her sorrow. First of all, her barrenness, and then her persecution. And maybe you can relate to Hannah. Maybe you're struggling with infertility and barrenness in your life. Or maybe you can relate to her persecution, where you're living with someone in a difficult home or dealing with a difficult person at work or in your family. Hannah's name is listed first here, indicating that she was probably Elkanah's first wife. And later, a second was added, possibly to have children because Hannah was barren. And we know that that was not God's design, to have more than one wife. So Elkanah married Hannah for love and Peninnah for children. One wife was fruitful and the other was barren. But although Hannah was childless, she was more loved by her husband. The second wife, Peninnah, Hannah's adversary, it says in verse 6, provoked Hannah relentlessly. That means that she was relentlessly, nonstop, provoking poor Hannah. And she made Hannah to fret. And even when they went to the house of worship, which should have been a joyful time, she provoked her so much that she made Hannah weep, and she didn't even eat. Now, can you imagine, first of all, sharing your husband with another woman? How horrible that and hard that would be. And then having that woman continually be provoking you. It would be a very hard situation. And it seemed unfair that Peninnah, with the ugly disposition, should have many children, while gracious Hannah had none. But the Lord had a plan and used this difficult trial to mold Hannah's character and to strengthen her faith. And that's what the Lord does for us. When we go through difficult times and trials, he molds our character. And he strengthens us in our faith. Now, it's interesting to note that it says at the end of verse 5 and 6 that the Lord was the one who shut her womb. The Lord was in control. The Lord is the only one that can create life and give life. And he was in control of Hannah's situation. And could it be that the Lord was bringing Hannah to a place where she would give her son to him in service? So unable to enjoy the feast with the family because her heart was so burdened, Hannah fled to pour her heart out to the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul, and she wept and she prayed. So let's look at her supplication in verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but wilt give unto your handmaid a male child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli observed her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said to her, how long will you be intoxicated? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaiden as a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I been speaking. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let now your handmaiden find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So Hannah asked the Lord to look on her afflictions and to remember her and to not forget her. Now, do you know that the Lord knows all of our burdens? He knows all our struggles, and he knows all the difficulties and things that you go through. And he does remember us, and he doesn't forget us. And what a blessing that is. He knows all about us through and through. Hannah was a woman of prayer, and it's no surprise that her son, Samuel, became a great man of prayer too. She spoke in her heart, and she poured out her soul to the Lord. Now, that's what prayer should be for us. It should be from our hearts. It should be pouring out our souls to the Lord, talking to him about the things in our life, our struggles, our cares, the things that we're going through, turning everything over to him and confiding in him because he cares for us. Now, her afflictions were heavy. She shared her husband with another woman. She was relentlessly provoked by the other wife. Tears had been her diet. Hannah wept and couldn't eat. Many in her place would have given up or would have blown up, but Hannah prayed. And maybe you have marital problems like Hannah. Maybe you can relate to her. Or you long to have children and can't, like Hannah. Do you deal with a daily mistreatment or ridicule like Hannah? Or is there something that you've been longing for and God hasn't seen fit to give it to you? So suffering from what she didn't have, she grabbed on to what she did have, the rope of prayer. She gave herself and her situation up to God's throne. Elizabeth George says, holding the rope of prayer helps bring you into the will of God. Handling the rope of prayer develops spiritual muscles, and hanging on to the rope of prayer gives you an anchor. Hitching on to the rope of prayer moves you on in his path of life. So we have that rope of prayer to hold on, to be our anchor, to be our help, to be our stability when our life is troubled all around us. We can turn to the Lord for help. Now then, she was falsely accused and misunderstood by Eli the priest when he thought that she was drunk. But her eyes were not red from wine, they were red from weeping. And she answered that she was a woman of sorrowful spirit and had poured out her soul to the Lord. Warren Worsby says, when you give your best to the Lord, it's not unusual to be criticized by people who ought to encourage you. We see that with Moses, that he was criticized by his own brother and sister, and David by his wife, and Mary of Bethany by an apostle. But Eli answered her after she said, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. He said, go in peace, and God grant you your petition. So Hannah went her way and ate, and her countenance was no more sad. But nothing had really changed. But Hannah believed and found joy in the promise. Her burden was lifted, and she knew God had answered her prayer. When God speaks to you in his word, do you believe him? And do you trust what he says, even when nothing about your situation has changed? Now, when my granddaughter, Caitlin, who's now 11, when she was born 2.5 months early. And she was only 2 pounds, 14 ounces. And I remember looking at her little lifeless body that was really not any bigger than my hand. And she was laying on this table, limp and lifeless. And I remember my heart, you know, just sank. And I thought, Lord, I go, this is supposed to be a joyful time, you know, having a grandchild. And yet here I'm sick with worry about her life and her future. And I went out to the hospital garden area and sat down and opened up my Bible and read from Psalm 115, 14. And the Lord encouraged me by this scripture, which said, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And I felt the Lord encourage my heart that she was going to be okay. And it's such a blessing when you are in systematic Bible study in your life, how amazing it is that on whatever you're reading that day, that the Lord has a special scripture or word for you to encourage you in what you're going through. But Hannah believed what Eli told her, and she was sad no more, and she ate. So let's look at her sin, verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seems to you good. Tarry till you have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and nursed her son until she had weaned him. So the Lord answered her prayer, and he blessed her and Elkanah with a baby boy. And she named him Samuel, asked of the Lord. What a blessing a baby brings and a joy into our lives, right? And so Hannah, I'm sure, was just ecstatic with the Lord's precious gift he'd given her. But Hannah had work to do because the baby was asked of God and given by God. and vowed to God and must be given to God. And she had only a short time to prepare Samuel for going to the temple. She had probably only 3 years. This is the amount of time that the Hebrew women usually nurse their children. So how do you think Hannah trained Samuel to love the Lord? And how can we train our children and grandchildren to love the Lord? First and foremost is that we love the Lord ourselves, right? Because we can't give to them what we don't have. And they can see the reality if we don't really know the Lord. So, of course, you have to love the Lord with all your heart and all of your soul. And then the next thing is that she probably taught Samuel God's word and instilled in him and whispered and shared with him God's word. Now, there's nothing better that we can do with our children and our grandchildren is to teach them God's word at a young age and get them little Bibles that they can understand and start teaching them about the Lord and instilling in their hearts God's word, because God's word will teach, convict, guide, and train your child as he grows. And then remember the Lord at all times. Rely on him, depend on him, and acknowledge him in all that you do, and be an example to your kids that when there is a problem, they can see you turning to the Lord and trusting in him, praying and relying on him for help and direction. And then teach them to pray. Be an example and pray with them. Pray about situations in their lives. I love my little grandkids right now that are toddlers that are learning to pray. And my little granddaughter, she closes her eyes, closes her hands. She prays. She goes, "Nana, I pray for you." And I go, "Oh, thank you. I pray for you, Nana." So I just love that. And we can teach them to pray and to, you know, thank the Lord for the sky and the birds and the flowers, and we got to go to the park, and just all the simple things in life that you can teach them to start thanking the Lord for. And then to be worshiping the Lord in your home, in church, in the car is an awesome place. And to teach your children how to worship and teach them Christian, you know, praise songs for kids. What a blessing that is. And then to be faithful to attend fellowship, to get involved in church, and to make church a priority. As a pastor's family, we didn't have the option to go camping or do things on the weekend. We were always in church. But I'm glad that we were. It was a blessing, because we dwelt in the house of the Lord, and those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And then commit your children to the Lord. Pray constantly for their hearts to love and to stay soft to Jesus and obey him all their days. And then remember and realize that they're not your own. They have been given to you for a short time. So now let's look at verse 24, her sacrifice. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. And for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as I live, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. So the day came when her vow was to be fulfilled. Hannah would give, not lend, her most precious sacrifice of all to the Lord, the source of her greatest joy and her most costly gift, even as Mary gave her most costly gift of perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. Have you given your children to the Lord for God to use them in any way that he sees fit or place them in his service or purpose? Are you willing to let the Lord send them out as missionaries or to serve in another country? Now, I know some moms that have hindered their kids from becoming missionaries and following God's call because they wanted their kids to be home with them and not be living in another country. But we don't want to hinder our kids, do we, from God's call? We want to know that they don't belong to us. They're the Lord's, and we need to encourage them to follow him and to do his will. It would be very hard to leave your 3-year-old son with an old priest, wouldn't it? Yet God, as God protected Joseph in Egypt, he would protect Samuel in Shiloh, and he will protect our children and our grandchildren in this present evil world. Now we wonder how the parting went, because scripture seems silent when Hannah actually had to leave Samuel at the temple. There's nothing in the scriptures of the sobs of the young boy as his mother left him with total strangers, or the heart-wrenching sorrow as Hannah left her only son, nor the loneliness that maybe followed for months and even years. But maybe Hannah had prepared her and Samuel's hearts, or God gave them comfort for the parting. But it would have been one of the hardest things that a mother could do, to leave your little 3-year-old son with an old priest and his 2 wicked sons. Yet if we had more parents like Elkanah and Hannah, we would have more godly people like Samuel. For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has given me the petition I have desired of him. Now this is a special scripture to me and to my daughter Bethany, because my daughter Bethany had Madison. They had her fairly quickly, and they wanted to have several other children after Madison. But my daughter Bethany was not able to get pregnant after Madison. And they struggled, they prayed, they had many tears. My daughter went through many struggles, and her friends, her sisters all around her were having babies and going having baby showers. And yet it was such a hard burden for her to go through. And it made me really sensitive and more aware of women that are going through infertility or barrenness, that sometimes they get overlooked. And I think they're all around us, and we're talking about our kids and our grandkids and this and that, and we don't realize that how much they're hurting and what a hard struggle that is to go through. But after 10 and a half years, when we had given up all hope, my daughter got pregnant. And it was such a blessing. And now they have little Dawson. And over Dawson's crib is this scripture. It says, "For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has given me the petition I have desired of him." Now, she was born on January 27th, so that's 1:27. And if you'll notice, this scripture is 1 Samuel 1:27. So that's why that verse is very special to me. So lessons that we can learn from Hannah. Hannah had learned the heartache of barrenness, and that we need to be sensitive to those that are around us, that are childless, that are dealing with infertility or barrenness. And for those of you that are going through that struggle, be encouraged that you still may be blessed with children. God still may come through and bless you with children. Or the Lord may lead you to maybe adopt and bring in a precious child that would never been able to be raised in a Christian-loving home. And then maybe the Lord doesn't want you to have children because he has a special calling on your life, and that you can serve the Lord in a special way that others of us that are mothers are busy with our kids, but you have an opportunity to serve God in a special way. Now, Hannah learned that children are a gift from the Lord. So how does knowing that your children are gifts from the Lord impact your parenting? I hope it encourages you to raise them for the Lord and love them and know that he's given them to you as a gift. Now, a couple encouraging thoughts as we close real quick is that Samuel, when he grew up, ended up living in Ramah, where Elkanah and Hannah lived. And that's in 1 Samuel 7:17. So what a blessing that is, that she gave her son to the Lord, but then when he grew up, he lived in the same village. He could have lived next door or down the street, and they got to see him all the time. God is so good. And then God blessed them with 5 more children. Commentator Howard Voss says, perhaps it is valid to speculate that if God had answered Hannah's prayer for a son earlier in her life, she might have kept him for herself. But in her extremity, she came to the point that she was willing to commit him totally to God. And God wanted an especially prepared mother to give birth to this key figure in the history of Israel. So let's pray.